So we just need to pray for our nation, for the election coming up, that God would have his will in every office, from the president all the way down to the meter maid or whatever. You know, we just need to pray and ask God for his divine protection, his divine guidance, and that we would all vote according to his will in this election, and that people would be motivated to vote, right? We'd have people who are motivated to vote. Everybody would get out and do their part. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we're blessed, and we know that we're blessed. We know that we've been blessed with a country, God, that's just amazing. And God, that we're free. Lord, we even though we have a lot of problems in our country, and there's racism, there's all kinds of things that are going on, Lord, but we're asking you, we're seeking you for the answer, Lord. We're seeking you, God, for a divine purpose in our nation. And Satan, we just come to you and we say, you're not going to have our nation without a fight. We're coming in the name of Jesus. You cannot steal Seattle. You cannot steal Chicago. You can't steal L.A. You can't steal New York. You will not have Washington, D.C. We plead the blood of Jesus over every spiritual force that's at work. We come against the principality of the air that's trying to destroy our land. And Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for sending your voice into the every arena of our land in Jesus' name. Not a judgmental voice, Lord, but one that is of love, trying to reach every heart for your gospel. There's nobody, Lord, that you're so mad at that you wouldn't accept into your family if they just understood the love of Jesus. And so, Father, we just come before you right now as a church, doing our part in the Spirit, Lord. We just thank you, God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And in the name of Jesus, I know that we're standing between heaven and earth right now, with one hand in your hand, God, and the other reaching out for the world and for our nation, Father. We just thank you for moving and working in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We're not defeated. We win. Let me say that again. We win. Doesn't matter what happens to the stock market. Doesn't matter what happens in our nation. Doesn't matter. We win because we're of the kingdom of God. And again, it's not just about this church. It's about the kingdom of God being in operation in our midst. Glory to God. So did you find 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Now look at this. Go to verse 14. Verse 14. He says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." I want to talk to you, and I've talked to you about this before, but I think we need to talk about this over and over and over and over again. When you got saved, when you gave your heart to Jesus, things changed. Let me say that again. Things changed. You're not the same. Because before you're outside of Christ, but now you're in Christ. Glory to God. But it's not just that, well, you know, I'm in God's family, and that's all great. But now I have God living on the inside of me. Right? Everywhere I go, Jesus goes. Right? I love that song that we sang just a minute ago, and it's like, you chase me down. We say, you know, those people need to come back to Christ. And there's some truth in that, but the reality is, it's him that's chasing us down. No matter where we're going, he's coming after us. But when I became born again, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil will tell you all kinds of other things, like you're not good enough, you haven't done enough. All of those lies to keep you out of who God wants you to be. Why? Because he wants you powerless. And a Christian who doesn't have faith and faith in acting on what God has said, even though the power is there, he hasn't plugged into it or she hasn't plugged into it. And so they're powerless in their situation. I'm telling you tonight, we're not powerless. You're not powerless. You may have circumstances that seem like they're overcoming you, but go back to this verse. It says, now thanks be to God who always, 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 ever say always. So always is always. Always means never ending. Always means now and forevermore. Let me say that again. He now and for all forevermore leads us into triumph. And this word triumph, it actually has a military meaning where when a king or a kingdom came in and they conquered another kingdom, what happened was is the king of the conquering army would march the old king through the street and showing everybody that's in that town that he's no longer in charge. Come on. He's no longer in charge. He's no longer the master. I am. So Christ always leads us into a triumphal procession over the enemy who's lying to us about who we are. Come on. Well, you know, I'm too this, I'm too little, I'm too tall, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not like him, or I'm not like her. Listen, it doesn't matter. Any of that does not matter, because the fact is that I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. So he always, everybody say always, leads me into triumph. I have a pastor that I listen to. I don't really know him. I've met him and talked with him a little bit, but he's got a plaque on his desk. He's got a large ministry, but he's got a plaque on his desk, and all it says is always. Always. How many know that all of us go through stuff? Paul went through stuff. In fact, he talks about that a little bit in this chapter, but he says, even though all of that's going on, he always leads us into triumph. So what is that? How does that apply to me? When you're facing circumstances and situations that seem to be have you down or trying to pull you down, you got to stand up and say, no, 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 no. I've got an always for you. We're going to look at a few always, but I've got an always for you. He always leads us in triumph. I cannot fail. I will not fail, because in the end, I'm going to reign and rule with him forever and ever and ever. He, because I'm in him, it's my now and forever is victory, is triumph. Come on, come on. I was in Paris years and years and years ago, and you all know this if you see movies, anything about Paris. There's the Arc de Triomphe. And it's a big monument, and it goes to, you know, military victories that have been won. But it's a reminder to them that we had victory. We have to remind ourselves. We have to put in our minds and put in our hearts, even when it seems like it's not working, when it seems like, you know, everybody's against you, even it's like, no, 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 God, you always, always, always lead me in triumph. I refuse defeat. I refuse to even acknowledge defeat in the midst of my struggles. Here's a story for you. Back, you know, in the early church, when the Romans were persecuting the Christians, and they just didn't call them names, they lined them up and put them out into the lion's den in the big Colosseum so that the people could scream as the Christians were being torn apart limb by limb by lions. Right? You think, well, where's the victory in that? Well, here's what would happen. The Christian who knew that they were going to be martyred for their faith would begin to worship God on their way out. They'd be singing songs. You know, Our God is an awesome God, He reigns. Or some one of the hymns, probably out of the Psalms. But all of the rest of the Christians on the way out would begin to join him. So from the bowels of the Colosseum would be this sound that rose up. And when even up to the point where they were being torn apart, they were worshiping God. So even though the enemy destroyed their body, their spirit was going to be with Jesus. Come on. Come on. You cannot hurt me. You cannot harm me because he always leads me into triumph. Do what you want, devil, but I'm not going to lose my voice of joy. I refuse to. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and let's look in verse 10. We're looking at some always. We're looking at some always. Verse 10 says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. That is so awesome. Look at that. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's two things here, but I think the main thing that we need to look at is that we're not living our lives for ourselves anymore. Right? So we have somebody who's in us, that's living with us, that we've decided that we're going to crucify ourselves and live for him forever, right? But how do you carry around in you the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember what the cross actuated in our lives. Because of the cross, I'm no longer dead in my trespasses and sin, but now I've been made alive. So I don't just think about that. I don't just carry that about when I'm on Sunday morning preaching or when, you know, I hear a sermon and I feel good. Always, now and forevermore, the effects of what Jesus did on the cross is going to live in me. It lives with me. It lives because I'm in Christ and He's in me. Come on. Come on. We got to stand up for it. But it says because of that and because I'm aware of that and because it's working on the inside of me, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. In other words, I'm walking around here, but I'm a dead man walking. I'm walking in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, I have the ability to operate in the Spirit of God, and God can use me to touch others in Jesus' name. I can pray for somebody, and God's going to do something in their lives. I have an expectation that God will move in Jesus' name. But we have to have that expectation, and we have to have the constant, always mindset that God is working in me, and He wants to work through me. It's not just about, I'm in Christ, rah, rah. I mean, rah, rah, because I'm in Christ, that's not an issue. But it's like, no, Lord, I'm in Christ, and You're in me, so that ought to be make a difference in my life, and my life should make a difference in other people's lives, not because I'm all that great, but it's because You in me is greater. Greater is He who is in me than he that's in the world. Come on. I've got the greater one living on the inside of me. Is there anything too hard for our God? Is there any situation that's impossible for our God? Absolutely not. So you have to speak to your impossibilities with always. Let me say that one more time. You got to speak to your impossibilities with always. I'm always carrying the Lord with me. I'm always carrying the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died and He took my place, and now I've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to let anybody else determine who I am. I'm not going to let a test tell me that I'm a failure. I'm not going to let, you know, somebody who thinks differently than me say anything that's contrary to the Word of God, because I have my security and my knowledge in the Lord Jesus. Come on, is anybody getting this? Come on. It's always. Go to chapter 5 and verse 6. So we are always confident Always, now and forever, all the time we're confident. Wouldn't it be nice to be confident all the time? How many have ever felt intimidated? How many have ever felt like, you know, you don't measure up? How many feel like that you're less than, right? Come on. And so even, you know, sometimes we look like this. We're going up to talk to people, but our shoulders are down and we're hunched over. And it's almost like, well, I'm going to say something, but you're probably not going to listen. It reminds me, years ago, it's like every Saturday, every other Saturday, at least twice a month. On Saturday, there'd be a van pull up in the neighborhood, and these kids would get out and they'd sell magazines, right? And they'd come up with a 3x5 card and go, "We're here on behalf of the, you know," and if they hadn't done it very well long, that was really shaky and that was, you know. But then you'd have a guy who'd been at it a while. And they'd have some confidence when they knocked on the door. "Hey, it's good to see you," you know, and you know, come on. Why? Because they had confidence in who they were. There was confidence. Confidence came through, and it made the sales pitch more appealing. Again, I had a friend years ago. His name was Mike. Still a friend. I don't see him very much. But Mike, and this kid came up and was selling, I don't know, cookies for a baseball, something. And he came up the door, knocked on it, and, "Would you like to buy cookies for my..." And Mike goes, "No, no, 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 no. You're not doing that right. Let me show you how to do that." And he took the kid and he said, "Now here's what you do." And he built him up and he said, "When you knock on the door, you say, 'Hey, I've got an opportunity for you. You can help out.'" And he went through this thing and he made the kid repeat it over and over and over and over. I hope he bought some cookies, but over and over and over again. He said, "Now that's how you go. You don't come as a beggar, hoping to fall on people's mercies that they feel sorry for you. You come from a place of confidence because God is with you." Come on, if God is with me, then what can I face that He hasn't already prepared a place for me to be victorious in? Always. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. In other words, this body is just an earth suit. It's my mobile home on earth. My real home is in heaven. And so even death, I mean, I know that none of us have died and been in heaven. We've all got that. So there's not knowing what the process is like. And even Christians get anxious about dying. But the reality is they're not always confident. But when you become confident, it's like, "Death, come on, where's thy sting? I mean, to be absent from the body, come on, make my day." Right? Make my day. I had an experience like that where I was being robbed at a convenience store, and I the guy said, "Well, I'm going to blow your bleeping off head off." And this verse came to me. Well, I was kind of drunk in the Holy Ghost because I'd been worshiping God all night. Well, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Weird, right? But I'm always confident. If we're in the Spirit, if we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, the world won't have as big a hold on us trying to figure out, how am I going to get this need met, or how's this going to happen, or am I going to survive this, or how am I going to get mine, and how am I, you know, and they owe me this, and they... No, I'm in Christ Jesus. He's my protector. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's everything that I need, and I am in Him. So I always... I'm always confident. Always confident. Why? Because I'm in Christ. My confidence is in the fact that He said it. I believe it. Whether I see it, feel it, or not, I know that it's mine. I know I'm a child of God. I know that He loves me. I know that He's for me. I know that He hasn't given up on me. Why? Because He said it. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation but say, uh-huh. Right? That sounds good to me. He died for my sins. I got sins. I'll take come on. Right? He did it all. But I'm confident in that. Now watch this. Go to chapter 9. We're talking about always. Now and forevermore. Now, right now, this instant and forevermore. Chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. In Bible college, we had this assignment, and the teacher said, here's what I want you to do. And he gave us a verse of Scripture, first of all. But he said, for the next week or 10 days, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a week. I want you to meditate on this Scripture for 15 minutes and then write down, you know, what the Lord gives you. And I thought, one verse? 15 minutes a day? I'm going to run out of things to write. But man, I'm telling you, God can reveal something to you when you're meditating on it. And this particular verse, I this was the second one. He gave us one, and then we could pick one. I picked this one. And I thought, well, you know, God is able to make all of it. But here's where I went. And God is able. And I stopped. I froze right there. God is able. God is able. Woo! God is able. I wrote 3 pages on God is able. I didn't get into anything else, but God is able. And God's already said that He would do it to me. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us that all, come on, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is always going to come through. God's always going to give you what you need. God is always going to be there for you. He's always going to be your sufficiency. But you've got to realize and demand of your mind and your thoughts that I'm washing every thought through the fact that I'm in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, He's going to make all grace abound toward me. And He's able to do it. Come on, is God able to do it? Glory to God. I'll just tell you this. Us losing the building and all that, I'm kind of over that. But anyway, God is always, He's able. And I just know that He's going to supply another one. I don't need another one. Honestly, we're doing great here. But I believe He's got one for us. And there's a purpose for it, right? I don't need a building at all. A house. I'll come to your house. You come to my house. We'll have church, right? I don't need it, but God's put it in my heart. Well, it's not up to me to make it happen. Because God always, come on, can make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency. So we've got to be always in Christ and let the always, because that we're in Christ, shine through in our lives. Always. Always, always. Come on, to try. And so how should you act when you're in the midst of a situation that doesn't seem like you're triumphing? Throw a party. Have a celebration. Start shouting and dancing. When you don't feel like it, get up and start dancing around your living room and say, I got the joy of the Lord. And begin to worship God like you already have the answer that you need. Because He's always going to lead you into triumph. I can't lose if He's my source. I can't lose if He's already promised me that He'll take care of me. I cannot lose if he said that I would win. Woo! Glory to God. Ha ha, devil. I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to your lies. But it's all because, not because I'm something in myself, it's all because I said yes to him. Right? It's because Jesus died for my sins, and he died so that he took my sins so that I could be right with God. And because I'm right with God, all of these things are added to me. Do I deserve it? That's not even the question. That's not even the question. If I really got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. And so would you. Because no sin can be in heaven. But because of his mercy and his grace, I now have the life of God living on the inside of me. How did I get it? I'll take that. Thank you, Lord. I believe your word. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you took my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and was raised on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of God. I believe it, God, and I receive him as my Savior. Come on. Anybody, God, oh, so good. So I can have a party. And we've got to get our praise on. Not just here on Sunday, not just here on Tuesday night or whenever we're together, but we got to be praising all the time. I think we need to be a little bit like David. David was carrying the presence of God, and he, if you know the story, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem to put in the house of God, to have it back where it was supposed to be in Israel. And he went through some things, but the finally got to Jerusalem, and he was so excited that he was dancing with all of his might. And the Bible says he was basically dancing in his underwear, right? Because he was just going for it. Right? And his wife, bless her heart, looked out of the window, looked down at him and said, "You idiot. You're the king. Come on. You're the king. You're God's man. And look at you dressed like that. You should have on your royal robes and you should have everything all taken care of. And you should be dressed the best. You should be more dignified than that." And David turned to her and said, "You think this is something? I'm going to even be more undignified than this. Because you don't get what I've got. You don't understand what God has given to me. You don't understand the relationship that I have with God. It's based on his presence, and God came with me in his glory from the place where he was to right now, and I have the presence of God abiding in the city after my name. I'm in Christ, he's in me." That's something to shout about tonight. That's something to get excited about tonight. That's something to praise him about tonight. So if you have nothing else, if everything else in your life is in the pit, begin to thank him that he saved you. Begin to thank him that he loves you. Begin to thank him and stay with it until your mood changes. Stay with it until you've got a hold and control of your mind. You are in Christ Jesus and he's in you and he's always leading you in triumph. Glory to God. Go back to chapter 2. Or actually, Colossians chapter 2. Are you getting something tonight? Amen. Come on, I needed this. Thank you. Look at verse 11. I was going to go down to the verse that I want, but we're going to start here. In him, that's in Jesus. Who's that? Who does that apply to tonight? Anybody in here? It applies to me. I'll tell you right now. I'm in him. Are you in him? So that what he's saying here applies to you. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? In circumcision in the Old Testament is the Jews were circumcised. You wanted to find out if somebody was a Jew? Take a look. There was a mark identifying them different than anybody else. That was something that was made with hands. But today there's a circumcision of the heart. In the spirit, I'm telling you this right now, in the spirit, the devil knows who you are. In the spirit, the angels know who you are. Why? Because you've been circumcised with Christ. He put a new heart inside of you. You have authority that you don't know you have. Angels are waiting for us to use the word and begin to act like what God said about us is true. Come on. I might be crucified with Christ and I might be dead with him, but I'm also raised with him. And because I'm raised with him, his life is living on the inside of me. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. When I go talk to somebody about Jesus or I'm on a mission for Jesus, whatever that is, and not just because I'm pastor, it's because I'm a believer. Did you know that you're a priest unto God? Every one of us. So what am I saying? God, use me. And as I go, I know that I'm going to be empowered by your Spirit to accomplish what you want, because he always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. You are somebody's answer to prayer. But because you haven't stood up in who you are in Christ and you haven't realized who you are in Christ, that prayer might have been unanswered. Or God used somebody else to do it. Come on, those days should be over. You're the answer to your kids. You're the answer to your, you know, to your siblings. You're the answer to your neighbor. You're the answer. I was listening to a pastor, and he was talking about, you know, he's walking around in his neighborhood, and another neighbor came, and they were talking, and he said, "Oh yeah, I just got a diagnosis that, you know, I've got cancer, and colon cancer or something, and the doctors are not real thrilled about that." So this pastor said, "Well, do you believe in prayer?" "Oh yeah, we're Church of Christ or something. We believe in prayer. Well, do you mind if I pray for you?" Prayed for him, went back to the doctor. "We can't find the cancer." Woo! Why? Because he was a pastor? No, because he's a believer. Now watch it another time. And so, you know, several months, maybe a year went by, and the guy came up to him and said, "Oh, you know, that cancer is gone, but now I've got one that's even more aggressive." He said, "Well, are you up for prayer?" "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. I saw you out for prayer this time." They prayed again, went back to the doctor. "We can't find it." He said, "Yeah, but that happens for him, but not for me. I believe it happens for him because he's starting to exercise and looking for opportunities." You know, as Christians, it's like the first thing that we do is we say, somebody's sick, we go, "Well, have you gone to the doctor?" And the doctors are great. I love doctors. Go to doctors, for sure. But shouldn't our first response be, "You're sick? Let's pray. Let's pray. I need to pray for you. Let's expect God to do what he said in his word." Why? Because I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and the authority that I walk in is not my own authority, but it's the one who sent me. I have his word on it. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. So, buried with him, verse 12, in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him. I'm alive together with him. I'm alive together in him. Just like he's alive, I'm alive. Just like he has the right to go before the Father, I have the right to go to the Father. Because I'm in him. I'm in Christ. Come on. Whoo! Having wiped out, verse 14, the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That's Jesus. That's what he's done for you. What does that mean? If there was a ledger in heaven for Bruce, and that good deeds, bad deeds, and there was this ledger, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, all of these bad deeds were put under the blood. And every sentence that was associated with judgment toward the bad deed, the judge has already taken care of. That doesn't apply anymore. Why? Because the blood has wiped it out. Come on. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. So the condemnation that you're hearing about, hey, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, it's a lie from the pit of hell, because everything that was written against you was nailed to the cross with him. I didn't write it. He wrote it. Glory to God. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing. So if he triumphed over them, guess what? I triumphed over. Why? Because I'm in him. Are you in him tonight? The devil has nothing on you. The devil cannot. You get a hold of this, and you're no longer afraid of the witch's coven that's down the street. You're no longer worried about what the Antichrist spirit is trying to do. You're not in your home shaking in your boots. You go, no. Come on. He's under my feet. The devil's under my feet in Jesus' name. And you need to stand up in that. Years ago, and many of you have heard this story, but we were out in Belfair, and at the time, it was even on the news, I think one of those news shows did a study on it, that North Mason County was one of the most populated witches' covens in the nation. And in fact, the police would talk about, they'd find, and they didn't talk too much about it, but they'd find where there was rituals that had been done out in the woods. And so we get this call, and the call said, "We're gonna kill you." Just like that. "We're going to kill you." And I just started laughing. I said, "You have no power over me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command every spirit to just shut up, because I'm not going to listen to that. You don't have authority over me. I have authority over you. You're not over me. I'm over you. And in Jesus, not because of me, but because of whose I am. And because his life is living on the inside of me, because he gave me authority over the works of the enemy." See, but you got to stand up in who you are. You got to stand up that you're in Christ. Are you with me? Come on. So I need your prayers to be stronger. I need your confidence to be stronger. I only got about halfway where I was going to go, so we might pick this up next week. Because it's so important to understand who we are. And that we start praying like we're victors rather than praying like we're victims. I'm telling you, the victim mentality is keeping people defeated. Now watch this, and I'm not even talking about, well, everybody that's in, you know, has the victor mentality, they'll never be sick, they'll never be broke, they'll never have any of that stuff. But what I'm telling you is you can be in victory in the midst of all of that. I believe God's will is for us to be healed. I believe God's will is for us to be, you know, to prosper us, to meet all of our needs. I believe, because the Word says it. Right? But even if it doesn't seem like that's happening right now, he always leads me in triumph. And I'm going to go out professing who I am in Christ Jesus to my last breath, rather than whining and complaining about how bad my circumstances are. I believe that the whining and complaining keeps you longer in the circumstances, brings on more depression, brings on more anxiety, brings on all of that, because you're agreeing with what the devil is saying rather than agreeing with what God has already said. I'm in Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I rejoice in the Lord always. So depression, I have no time for you right now because I'm rejoicing in Him. Right? Come on, come on. Bad mood, I really don't have time for you because I'm rejoicing in the Lord always. I'm in Christ Jesus. Come on. What can the world do to me? And Paul said, man, I've learned whatever state I'm in there and to be content. Why? Because he liked beating? No. Because he liked shipwrecks? No. But because he knew that he was in Christ and that Christ was in him. Right? Amen. So we need to close, but I want you going, shouting out of here in your car on the way home. He always leads me in triumph. He always leads me. Come on, you got to allow your mouth to begin to say what God's trying to put in your heart. Because if you don't, it's going to be damned up. Knock the cork out. Come on. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's here listening to me in the room. And Lord, everybody that's watching either now online or later online. God, I just pray that you would just cement this in their hearts. Lord, let them see themselves in you. And Lord, let our first thought be to you and all the good things that you've done for us, all the absolute miracles that have happened in our lives. God, I'm accepted in you. God, you allow me to come before your throne. Lord, you've done so much for me, and I'm just rejoicing in you right now. And Father, I want to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for all that you did in Jesus' name. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, just say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. And according to the Bible, you'll be saved. What does that mean? He'll make you a new creature. Glory to God. And everything that I preach tonight will be for you. God bless you. And we'll talk again on Sunday. Amen, amen, amen.